You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial away trip at Kers and Ashton.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team got on in their Manchester FA Challenge Cup semi-final clash at West Didsbury and Chorlton. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And the week started with a postponement, as following heavy rainfall, FC United's match with York City last Saturday was postponed after a series of pitch inspections. Here was FC manager Neil Reynolds' reaction shortly after the final decision.
Hi Neil, obviously we've just found out the referees called the game off after a third pitch inspection. How are you feeling?
Devastated. You know, me and the manager have just been in the referee's office. We thought she was going to put it down to us. Both managers are happy. She's deemed it unfit due to health and safety and quoted that someone may break a leg. You know, we have disagreed with that, saying that, you know, we could break a leg in any game. We have to respect the referee's decision, but both clubs were desperate to play this game. And, you know, as you stand here now, I still believe that the game should have been played, but you've got to respect the decision. Like I said, I reiterate, both clubs were desperate to play this game today.
OK, how are you going to spend the rest of the afternoon?
We're going to go into the bar now and obviously, you know, just mill around with the fans and, you know, just stay together. You know, we've just said to the lads in there, togetherness is key. We're going to share some time together now. We're going to come in training Monday. We're all going to watch Kurt Willoughby, hopefully play some part on Tuesday night. We're going to go there as a squad and watch Kurt on Tuesday night, get in on Thursday and then get ready for a Curzon game next week and try and take our frustrations out on Curzon. You know, apologise to all the fans that have travelled, but, you know, I'll reiterate again for a third time that but the both clubs wanted to play this game, but it's down to referee.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank
no
you.
Problem.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Tim Browning there speaking with Neil Reynolds following last Saturday's postponement, and that match has now been rescheduled for this Tuesday back at Broadhurst Park, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. In other news, on last Tuesday evening, FC United captain Kurt Willoughby picked up his second England C cap and also managed to mark the occasion against Wales with a goal. Here's Kurt speaking to NL Fulltime's Chris Pratt soon after the final whistle.
Yeah, it was my first start for England C, so that was, I was buzzing to start, knowing I'd get, you know, a good amount of time. My aim was just to score however means necessary. I just wanted to get my name on the score sheet, and I did that from the free kick. So yeah, I'm just buzzing.
Obviously this is a real different experience for you. How different is it? What's different to a normal game?
It's just a lot more professional. We've done two full days of preparation. We've had meetings, gone over videos, ate well, gone to sleep early, just so professional. And it's just the standard of players is better in my opinion of our team. We've got some good players who've got league experience, players who are going to go on and kick on and have a good career in the game. So yeah, it's just all around just professionalism and good standard. Yeah.
And did you know many of the guys before, or is it the first time for a lot of them?
I got called up last time when we played against Estonia, and I think there was eight of the same lads, so I knew them. I know James Hardy before here, and I just know a couple of them through football. So yeah, it was easier when you know a couple of faces. So yeah, it was good.
I've got to say, from watching as a spectator, it looked like you'd known James Hardy before, because you linked up really well with him today. You must have enjoyed playing with him.
Yeah, no, he's a really clever player. He can see my runs, I can see his. So I had a chat with him before the game, during the game, half time, just to let him know where I'd be. And yeah, he found me a good few times, so it was a pleasure to play with him.
Now, I've got to ask you about the second free kick you got about 2 minutes after that first one that went flying in the bottom corner. Did you think it was going to happen again?
I tried the same sort of pass and set, and I was going to go for the other corner, but unfortunately it hit the wall. But oh, I'll try again.
So, well played.
Thank you.
NL Full Time's Chris Pratt speaking to FC United skipper and England C international Kurt Willoughby on Tuesday evening. And you can hear more from Chris and the rest of the NL Full Time gang on the National League show at 9 p.m. every Friday evening on FC Radio. Elsewhere, and FC United's under-21s continued their great run of form this past week with wins in both Cup and League. Last weekend, we caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds to hear his hopes for the club's young prospects.
One of the first things that I said when I took over in terms of the youth teams, the 18s and the 21s, is that we all play in red. We're all one club. We all play, you know, under the same badge and same banner. And, you know, maybe in the past it's been a, you know, a step too far for the first team. I've made sure that we do things together now, and I'm in regular communication with the youth team coaches, with the 21s coaches. You know, I was on the phone to Kev last week about which players I can take. They know now that there's a clear route into the first team for them, and for me, Ben, I'm looking to open them doors for them. There's really good players at that level of football. I've been really impressed with them in training. I've been really impressed with them in matches. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next season. You know, I'm the rest of this season, but certainly next season, open these doors and getting the youth through and getting them onto the big stage and letting them do what they do best. You know, that's got to be the message throughout the club now, that there is definitely progression into the first team. And you don't always have to go and look outside of the club. Sometimes you do, but obviously if they're doing it, and the training well, then there's going to be opportunities for these kids.
And finally, for this week's news, on Friday the club announced that goalkeeper Lloyd Allinson will be joining NPL promotion chasers Nantwich Town on loan for the remainder of the season. Here's manager Neil Reynolds again on the news.
I mean, there's two bits I think in here. Obviously, you want to keep Andy Fisher to the end of the season. I think his performances have been, you know, immaculate, exceptional since he's come in. I think we've lost one game. Well, he's been between the sticks in five. And you know, Lloyd just, you know, found some competition and lost his shirt. I said to Lloyd, you know, he's on the bench each week. He's training really well, but he needs games. And, you know, the way Fisher's playing at the minute, it only takes one of the Rovers, either number one or number two, to pick up a knock. And Fisher goes straight back. And, you know, we're sitting on the bench for the first team. We're even playing for the first team. So it was important to me to keep Lloyd fresh. And I think going into the last eight games, what I don't want is Lloyd to not have any games under his belt, because if Fish has to go back, I need Lloyd sharp. That's why we've insisted on the 24-hour recall. But you know, hopefully for Lloyd, and he can go and get his games. And, you know, hopefully for Fish, that he remains injury-free and things remain the same. But Lloyd Allen said he's very much an FC United player who, like other players this season, is going out on loan to improve his match fitness. And that's all there is to it.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday evening. To Saturday's football now, and following last weekend's enforced break, it was back to the relegation battle for Renault's Reds as FC United travelled the short distance to the Tameside Stadium to take on Curzon Ashton. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
Hello and welcome to the Tameside Stadium. I'm Ben. Paul is here. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Now we've got the rain off. And we're dried out.
Yeah.
A game of football can take place. But first things we have to say, look at this pitch. It's August, isn't it?
It's certainly not Hurst Cross. We can say that.
No, it's not Hurst Cross. Incidentally, Ashley United are in action this afternoon. Two home games. Wonder what the GMP thought about that. But anyway, Ashley United against Blyth.
Feel free to complain to GMP.
We're more interested in FC United against Curzon Ashton here at the Tameside Stadium. All the games towards the end of the season are important, Paul, and this is about keeping the momentum going from the Telford match a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it seems a long, long time ago since we last played a game. It's 2 weeks ago. Having said that, Curzon are nearly 3 weeks ago since they played, so they're a bit rusty. So we're down to eight games now, back to the original plan, and we've got three games now in the space of a week.
No, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because the York match has been rearranged to Tuesday night at Broadhurst Park. Coverage will be available here on FC Radio if you can't make that one in person. But it's an interesting one. If FC United can get a victory here, Getovich against York, it doesn't matter about how close the games are, because you just want to keep the momentum going, don't you?
The tantalising prospect of 9 points in the space of a week would really transform the table. And this is one of our good grounds in terms of history. We've won 19 of 24 visits. And we've only lost here twice, and one of those is a penalty shootout. So, and of course, our record against Curzon's pretty good. In fact, they're the only team we've beaten at home in the league.
That said, Paul, the last time we played Curzon, Matt Bradshaw had just been announced as the new manager. And they've not looked back, really.
The flip side is, in 2019, they've accumulated 23 of the last 33 points. So
it's pretty good.
They've gone from 19th to 12th. So, you know, we envy them that they've almost got themselves safe. That they're getting close to safety. But now it's our turn. And let's hope that maybe they haven't got the same impetus and momentum that we've got desire.
We'd like them to have that same impetus on Tuesday night, because while we're playing York, they're travelling to Guiseley. And Guiseley, I know everyone's, you know, the common theme is we want to drag as many teams in as possible.
Yeah. We don't need to.
We just need to get ahead of Guiseley and Ashton and stay there.
And Guiseley watch today means they're playing at Hereford. And, of course, Hereford are another side that have started picking up points. So we've got hopes that Hereford will do us a favour today.
Yes, Hereford against Guiseley. Nuneaton against Darlington. And that's another game where, actually, you'd quite like Nuneaton to win that one. Because
their points really don't really matter much now.
And you really want to make the game against Darlington in a few weeks a bit nervy for them, don't you? But if they're safe, then...
And if Nuneaton have not won for weeks and weeks, the prospects next week could be a bit iffy.
But I've got managers, various managers, ringing in my brain going, we just concentrate on our game. So enough about all these other teams. What about SC United? Well, today, SC United don't have Lloyd Allenson on the substitutes bench. That's because he's gone on loan to Nantwich Town.
Yes, he's become a dabber for the rest of the season, we understand. So good luck to Lloyd.
He's got a 24-hour callback, which is basically just in case Fisher gets called back. But I think it's transpired in the last few weeks that Fisher's performing well. And if we're on a winning streak or an undefeated streak, certainly it'll be good to keep things as they are, and that's what Neil's done, really.
If we survive this season in this division, I think the decision to bring Fisher in by the manager will be seen as a very shrewd one.
Another shrewd move, perhaps, was putting Kurt Willoughby as captain.
That's been another thing that he's blossomed. And of course, in midweek, he went and scored for England C. So he's really on a high at the moment.
He really is. And he's obviously... I'm going to suggest, if Paul Le Pen's listening, he scored that goal because of the Manx Knobs that were in his belly.
Well, yeah, that's one thing. You know, maybe the Manx Knobs should be attributed to England C's result. But there you go.
Absolutely. Well, the teams are coming out onto the pitch now. I'll just give you a bit of team news and the fact that the team sheet is slightly wrong. We haven't signed any new players. Daniel Norton really is Daniel Morton. Is he from Gorton?
He might be.
He might be. That doesn't rhyme, Paul, but never mind. Also, Kurt Willoughby is Kurt Willoughby. And Thomas Peters is actually Thomas Pears. But actually, the team is exactly the same as the one that played at Telford, I think.
It does look very similar.
Yes. So Dominic Mahill retains his spot. He was fantastic. But all debutants under Neil Reynolds have been, in all fairness.
We did work it out. There's been four goal-scoring debutants for Neil so far in the FC shirt. If you can reel them off at home, let us know.
Good quiz. Get in touch, let us know. More on that in a second. But the teams are shaking hands on the pitch. And Hunt there wins the ball. And it's now breaking in midfield, and it finds Bannister. Bannister now waiting for that run forward there from Donoghue. And Donoghue gets it. Donoghue, a first-time ball into the box. It's just over the head of Willoughby. It's not cleared, though, by Curzon yet. And Wallen picks up the ball on the edge of the box. Back out to the left-hand side to Donoghue. Donoghue now, nice ball in field. Bannister lays off there to Wallen. Wallen gets that ball to Willoughby. And that is a fantastic goal from FC United on 11 minutes here at the Tameside Stadium. One-touch football all the way there, Paul. That was beautiful, wasn't it?
That was great quality. I think the key really was the first time cross that went in, and it unsettled Curzon, and they never recovered from it.
Superb football that from FC United. Really was brilliant stuff. Over on that left-hand side, Bannister, Wallen, Donoghue, all linking up really, really well, and there was Willoughby to put the ball in.
The man of the moment.
39 minutes on the clock, corner to Curzon Ashton over on the right-hand side this time. It's going to be an in-swinger. In it comes. again towards the penalty spot area. That's a better flick on that time. It was a great header there from Hunt. Towards goal it went, and there was Sean Miller, and there was an FC United player on the line, so he wasn't offside. Nothing Fisher could do with that one. And on 39 minutes, Curzon have been rewarded for a good 5-10 minute spell of possession here, Paul, and have made it one apiece.
They won a header at a corner a few minutes ago, and we got away with that one. That time the header was better directed, and it was directed to a player near the goal line who managed to flick it in. But as you said, we had a player behind him, so there was no chance of an offside. But we were undone at a set piece, which will be disappointing for the manager.
Anyway, it's going to be Wall to take this corner from this right hand side. In it comes towards the back post, the ball goes, and to say Curzon, that's been coming in this opening 3 minutes would be an understatement. They've got the second goal there, Paul.
They've got the aerial superiority from the corners. And I think, again, you know, you look at the marking, and they've obviously got an advantage with it. I mean, they're good on corners, so they've obviously worked on it, but it's just a bit too soft from our point of view how they've won two headers from corners and ended up with goals.
Two corners, two goals for Curzon. 4 minutes played in the second half. The score is now 2-1 to the home side. Slice clearance, though, from the goalkeeper. Brought down well there by Brooke, and Donoghue fouls his man. Winter's there.
Oh,
Winter. He's going to get a red card, isn't he?
Punches being thrown.
Yeah. Well, Winter there reacted.
I think the Curzon players are going to be in trouble as well.
Maybe two red cards. I mean, it's Brooke and Winter who clashed there.
I think Brooke started it, and then Winter retaliated. And the free kick had already been given.
Yeah, red card for Winter. And nothing for Brooke. And Brooke's got a smile on his face.
It might not be when the card comes out.
Well, he's not speaking to him.
I think that's a nonsense to punish one player.
Well, there's lots of pointing going on. The referee's lost control. He's given a yellow card to Shaw for some reason. Not sure what Shaw did wrong. And this is descending into farce.
Well, Shaw had nothing to do with it, did he?
Brooke is still...
The two of them clashed on the ground. The free kick had already been given. The two of them were on the ground. And to me, Brooke lashed out at Winter, who punched him back. If you get to see it, I mean, you won't see a video of it, obviously, you get hidden, but to me, both of them threw punches at each other, but only one of them got punished.
Well, that's FC United just to confirm down to 10 men. Winter sent off, straight red, and it was a red card for him, definitely. But play continues, and it's a tall order now for FC United. It's going to be a free kick to FC United as we come up to 11 minutes left on the clock. Wallen takes it high. Who's under it? Shaw is. Whittam wins the ball back. Shaw's under it again, and now it breaks into midfield. Whittam's there, and he loses out there to Miller. Miller keeps the ball, and Miller breaks the line. Miller's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Miller still with the ball. Shot comes in, and that is good night from the Tameside Stadium. Miller makes it 3-1, rounds the goalkeeper, and that is it, Paul, isn't it?
Yeah, it's game over. The break on halfway. The break from halfway, it was a soft breakout, really. And Miller knocked the ball well in front of himself, and I thought that Fisher maybe could have come out a bit more.
The thing was, is that
he could have narrowed it a bit.
The defence was caught in two minds with it, because the player who looked odds on, Luke Wall, to get that ball, yeah, was miles offside.
Yeah.
But what I don't think they were expecting was Miller to do it all himself.
Yeah,
from where he was.
I just think it was a bit... It's like the back four were looking at the goalie. The goalie is looking at the back four, and it was like, well, who's going to make the challenge?
Well, 10 minutes left on the clock here, and it's a long road back from here for FC United. Full time.
Yeah, slightly premature, but there you
go. Full time. We've got 4 seconds left after stoppages during added time, but that's all academic. The facts are FC United went 1-0 up in this game.
Gave for the rest of the season.
An equaliser towards the end of that first half. Then didn't come out of the dressing room really in the second half. 2-1.
I think the
10 men, 3-1.
I think the lesson from the second part of the first half was the fact that we had to tighten up at set pieces. And the fact that we conceded a goal early in the second half from a set piece was basically the seeds of our defeat this afternoon. Because at 2-1 down, we had no rhythm and no cohesion in the second half. And for all the good play of the first 20 minutes, where we looked rather stylish and classy and we were doing them lots of damage, the difference between the first 20 minutes of the game and the last 20 minutes, where FC became desperate and ragged, was sad to see. When we were chasing the game at 2-1, it went to 3-1, it could have been 4-1, because we left ourselves so wide open at the back trying to chase a goal that never came. But, you know, we talked about this early in the season many times, about how we fade in second halves, and we didn't start this second half until it was much too late, and I'm sure the manager will recognise that.
But just to give you the full-time score from Hereford, it's finished Hereford 1, Guiseley 0. So in that regard,
there's no change.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, and all that. And Ashton United 0, Blyth 3. It's just disappointing, isn't it, Paul, really?
I think we've also got to mention Harry Winter's red card, which obviously affected the second half to some degree. I don't think the referee had one of his better games this afternoon, and the decision to not punish the Curzon player was strange, but it's no good the players blaming the referee or the fans on the terrace in questioning the referees. It's been a disappointing second half, and you just can't afford them when you need a performance that's for 90 minutes to get 3 points and climb the table.
FC United going off there, to applause from the remaining FC United supporters in the stadium, but it's just been a disappointing afternoon, in all fairness. I mean, it started off so brightly, but in the end, we just didn't really get out of the dressing room.
And, we really didn't react from being brought back to 1-1 in the first half. If you look back at it, we didn't respond to that in the way that we really wanted to. We were creating lots of chances in the early stages of the game, but they dried up. And we didn't have the quality in the last 20 minutes of the game to come back, did we? It was all a bit desperate and frantic and hopeful. When you end up with Mohamed being pushed up front just to try and get flick-ons and kicking it long, which is not the FC way, really.
You say that, but that is old school in a way, Paul. That's well, how we used,
you know,
that's how we used
I know
to do
Chaddy things. Used to do it, but it never really worked that well. But it's just it's a frustration that it's an opportunity lost this afternoon. That's the disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
There were other factors as well. Losing Willoughby to injury was a key moment.
Yeah, Willoughby had to go off partway in the early stages of that second half, but really we were just... Curzon wanted it more in that second half, and
I thought they were hungrier at stages of the game than we seem to be.
I mean, do you share this thing that FC United have been said of them before, that they are very quick to have their heads drop? Because it did feel that way, didn't it?
I didn't think that we had the fight within us for 90 minutes this afternoon. There were times when we tried, but heads did go down, and that's the kind of thing that the manager has to look at and say, well, we just can't afford that kind of thing. We need players who are going to fight for the 90 minutes and not react the wrong way when we concede a goal. You've got to get up the other end of the pitch and do something about it, and we didn't really show enough of that attitude, that endeavour.
Well, it has finished here. If you're joining us late, 3-1 to Curzon Ashton, FC United taking the lead. Beautifully worked goal.
It was a good team goal. Yeah, I mean, and there was the prospect of more goals for FC in the afternoon at that stage. But the longer the game went on, the more Curzon imposed themselves on it, I think, and we didn't react to it. They were quicker and sharper at times, and their counter attack caused us a lot of trouble.
They were
the 90 minutes.
I mean, the likes of Crankshaw, Brook, Wall, the Miller goal as well. I mean, admittedly, we were down to 10 men at that point,
and we were just gung ho then.
But it's about taking chances as well, Paul. And yeah, the number of chances we did create, there's some glorious chances created, where we didn't fire the trigger early enough.
Bannister had a golden chance.
Yeah. Piers did a couple of times that second half.
Yeah.
And it's like, just shoot.
It's just like that ruthlessness isn't there when it needs to be. And that's the sadness of it. But unfortunately, the manager's got he's got another game on Tuesday night, and he's got to sort his players out very quickly for York. And I mean, the good thing is that we are only 3 points adrift still, and we could be level with Guiseley on by the end of Tuesday night. You never know.
Yeah, it does feel like a bit of a missed opportunity, this one. But just to regard to the sending off, just before you go, Paul, I didn't see, I only saw Winter swinging his arm, but there was a lot of FCers saying, you know, Brooks should have gone off as well.
I thought Brooks should have gone as well, bearing in mind he instigated the whole thing, and I think he threw a punch as well. Now, his may not have landed, but to me, that doesn't make any difference. It's all about intent, isn't it?
But that was the margin, and Winter was captain at the time, and Winter swinging his arm the way he did. That's not a good look either, in all fairness.
That's right, yeah, I mean, it was stupidity, really, from Harry Winter, and it'll cost him 3 games now, which will, of course, affect the team selection. So, presumably, Whittam will get back in the side now. But it's the kind of thing we just don't need at this stage of the season.
Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. We'll be back together again tomorrow.
Tomorrow afternoon, yeah.
For Disby and Charlton's match.
Happier times, hopefully.
Disby and Charlton against FC United's women's team. That's live from the recreation ground, and we'll be there live from 2 o'clock. It's the semi-finals of the County Cup.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Paul, as always. But just to give you the full-time scores elsewhere: Ashton United 0, Blyth Spartans 3, Brackley Town 3, Kidderminster 1, Chorley 3, Leamington 0, Curzon Ashton 3-1 winners here, Hereford 1, Guiseley 0, 10-man Uneaton 1, 10-man Darlington 2, Southport 2, Brad Park Avenue 2, Spennymoor 1, Alverton 1, and York 2, Boston United 2. So basically, when it comes down towards the bottom end of the table, like Theresa May would say, nothing's changed. And we are joined now by Mr. Neil Reynolds. Can I come to the sending off first?
Yeah.
Because I obviously saw Winter swing, so he's getting a red there.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people to my right hand side, admittedly with red scarves on, saying Brooks should have gone as well. I mean, what happened? Because I didn't see there's too many bodies in the way.
It's two red cards. It's two red cards. There's no, I'm not going to stand in and defend Harry Winters. Harry Winters is a red card. Brooke goes as well. They're both done the same movement. And I don't know. And then the referee pulls over the number four and books him. And then after that point, the referee just absolutely he'd gone before that. But it's two red cards. And anybody around the ground today, the bench said to me, it's a red card. I said, it's a red card. So I'm not contesting Harry Winter's red card, but oh my God, do me a favour.
Brooke didn't even get a booking.
Didn't even get booked, and he went first. And then, listen, it is what it is. You know, I'm not saying the referee was against us. Like I said, it's Harry's is a red card, but they should have been down to 10 men, and then it's still an even game. And I think when you got on to 10 and you're chasing the game, then gaps open up, and they go and get the third. So it's disappointing.
We'll get on to the actual reasons why we got beat today in a second, but while I've got the referee in my mind, I'm not blaming the referee for those people. There was a corner taken early doors where Wall kicked it to himself. Was that how it was seen on the touchline? Or
he had two touches. Yeah. I looked at the referee. Good. The referee's looking the other way, and the linesman was looking the other way, and at that point I thought, we're up against it today.
I just wanted to clear that up because I thought I was seeing things. But anyway, let's get down to the actual what happened today. We came out the blocks really, really well. The first half of the first half, we were superb. McHale was exceptional. We were working some great moves, and we were unlucky not to go 2-3-0 up in many ways. Was that exactly how things were planned, to press their defence the way we did?
We were brilliant for 25 minutes, and I just said to the lads in the dressing room, we will win games, we will lose games, we will draw together, we will get red cards together, we'll go through all the emotions together. However, there's times in a game where you, as the players, have got to then input what we do in a training game. So they got a spell after about 25 minutes, for about 5 or 10 minutes, and for whatever reason, all the things that we worked on in training, distances, high line, two midfielders being on the diagonal to each other, the 11 and the 7 between the full-back and the centre-half, Willoughby stretching, just didn't happen. Just didn't happen, and our spaces went everywhere, and they just started picking us off, and we're trying to get messages onto the pitch, and that's where your leadership qualities have got to come to the fore, and it just wasn't there. I didn't hear a voice. I think it was like, you know, apart from the singing, I didn't hear a voice for 15 minutes. And at that point, you know, they scored deservedly, another shambolic set piece, and we've come off our man. and it's 1-1. And we've said to the lads at half time, we've told what we have to do to address it, and then we come out, set piece. He says, "Oh, we just switch off." And you know, I've said what I've said in there about set pieces, but you don't have to be the same size as your marker on a set piece. You just got to get the better of him and put him off. But we don't seem to. We're very nice in defensive boxes and very nice in our attacking box. And then we're chasing the game, and then it goes to the red card, and then the game goes after that. But I thought there was a spell, even when, you know, at 10 men, we looked like we were going to get back into the game. But I just said, Telford, you listen to what we said. Today you played your own game for 20 minutes, and that when that mindset sets in, it's hard to claw it back.
There was a few good chances made, even when we were 10 men, but it was another case of waiting a split second too long than we needed to. Mm. And Piers was guilty of that. I think Bannister was guilty of that. And it's just...
It's knowing what you're going to do before the ball comes into you. You know, don't just have two or three touches. Unfortunately, we lost Kurt. Kurt's hamstring was tight. We knew it was tight. It was going to be a gamble, but, you know, we tried to get him through it and we've had to take him off. McHale, we couldn't get him into the game after probably about minute 30, so we sacrificed him. And then, you know, we're about to make the sub and go for it. Sharp's going to come on, and then we get the red card, and the whole game then changes. But it is, it's recognising when the ball comes into you, what's around you. And the front men today were really guilty of that. It's difficult when you're a losing situation, it's difficult when you're down to 10 men, but it's more difficult when you get into a mindset, into a game that things are going against you. And things wasn't going against us. That's as good as 25 minutes as we've played in how many weeks? I don't know. It looked fantastic. The confidence was high. The fluidity was great. But, it's a defeat. And now the only saving grace is that the results have gone for us again.
Everyone has pretty much got beat this afternoon. Yeah. So it's kind of like a lost weekend in many ways for everyone down the bottom end of the table. But it does lead us on to York. Willoughby's got a tight hamstring. He's had a very busy week. I mean,
he'll be doubtful. Yeah, he'll be extremely doubtful. I don't like giving my team selection away, but you can't keep playing people through it. He was tight on Tuesday when he come off in the last 10 minutes. He didn't train Thursday night, but we tried to get 60 minutes out of him. And you can see, I know he scored his goal, but he just wasn't his dynamic self today. So we've had to sacrifice it. Lynch has got a knock at the end. Harry Winter's now going to be out, so he's a bit back against the wall stuff, but. Yeah, we've turned it around. Our points total that we wanted is, we're probably slightly behind from where we were. But I just said to the lads in there, you can't run out of games and keep asking for people to do your favours. Today, everyone's done us favours, but that's a game now we've lost. And if you would have come and got a point today, that's an amazing point. And we haven't, we haven't. We've got to go York, we've got to go Nuneaton, we've got to go Darlington, and we've just got to get points on the board. We know this is going right to the wire. I'm not getting away from it. We're never going to be safe with four games to go.
We didn't want Brackley away to mean anything.
No, I know, but you know, we've got something to play for. We're not mid-table, there's no obscurity. We've got something to play for. We haven't won today, but we can't feel sorry for ourselves. We've seven games to go. We need everyone to be upbeat and positive and put it behind us and get to Broadhurst Park on Tuesday and go and give a good account of ourselves and try and go and win. I'm the most positive person there is, I'm not going to go in there and I'm not going to tear strips off the dressing room. It's not the time of the season to do that. Yes, I'm frustrated with large parts of the games and set pieces, but it's not the time. The time is now to be together. The time is to keep believing. There's 21 points to play for. I believe that 12 points out of the 21 will be good enough for us. So today's a setback. We're all disappointed. Everyone's connected to the club's disappointed, but we've got to move on from it. We've got to move on, and the best thing is we've got a game in 72 hours, so here we go. Let's look forward to Tuesday night.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. Much appreciated.
Thanks,
my friend.
Ben. And cheers.
We'll see you Tuesday.
All right, cheers.
Well, that's the end of our broadcast here at Broadhurst Park. But that, speaking of which, don't forget, get yourself to Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night. It's FC United against York. It's a very, very big game now and a very, very important one. And I must not miss, but if you do miss it, don't worry. We'll be there on your behalf. Join us from 7:30 here on FC Radio. It's now time to leave the Tameside Stadium. Will we be back here next season? Who knows? But we will be back live on Tuesday from Broadhurst Park. Be there, and if you can't be there, fc-radio.co.uk from 7:30 for FC United against York. Women's team live back tomorrow as well, 2 o'clock at Didsbury and Cholton in the semi-finals of the County Cup. We'll be there on your behalf as well if you can't make that one. But from everyone here at the Tameside Stadium, it's finished Curzon Ashton 3, FC United and Manchester 1, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's 3-1 defeat at Curzon Ashton. As discussed there, next up for the Reds will be two home matches. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, Broadhurst Park will be hosting the rearranged York City game. The match will be segregated with a 7:45pm kick-off. And then this Saturday, FC United will once again be taking to the Broadhurst turf as the Reds take on Nuneaton Borough. Kick-off this Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening from 7:30pm and on Saturday from 2:30pm on www.fc-radio.co.uk. FC Radio. Dad, do you know the piano's on my foot? Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United travel to South Manchester to take on West Didsbury and Chorlton in the semi-finals of the Manchester FA Challenge Cup. For all the goals now, it's over to Ben and Paul.
Jean with this throw-in gets it to O'Gara. O'Gara back out to Jean on this round touchline. Jean beats one player. Can she out-muscle the second? No. Clearance made, and again, it's a risky clearance from Didsbury. But picked up by the number 10 who clears the lines. Only as far as Foster though. Foster now. Midway into Disby's half. The ball breaks here to McCarrick who lays it off to O'Keefe. O'Keefe is one-on-one. Rounds the keeper. The angle's tight. No problem at all. On her right foot. Pokes it home. And FC United on 15 minutes, Paul, have broken the deadlock.
Yeah, I mean it was a bit of risky defending, I think, initially from West Didsbury. And they lost it. And Foster... threaded the ball through, and then it was a case of could the keeper rescue the situation, and she couldn't, and O'Keefe took it round and stuck it in very expertly.
Yeah, a great finish there by Amy O'Keefe, and not much the goalkeeper could do with that one. And on 15 minutes, FC United have taken the lead here in this County Cup semi-final. Played out towards the left-hand side. It's cleared there by Bracegirdle. Over the top it goes. And this is a dangerous opportunity here for Didsbury. And, well, Livesey beat the offside trap there. Straight from a goal kick. Bracegirdle with a long ball over the top. Not read by the FC United defence. And there was Livesey with a superb lob. And on 21 minutes, Paul, West Didsbury have got an equaliser. One apiece.
Yeah, well, Livesey scored a hat-trick on Thursday against Winchester Amateurs. And she's obviously banging form. And... yeah, we were caught out with a bit of a sucker punch there, but we did expect a tough game this afternoon, and this is exactly what's happening.
Throw-in taken to Jean. Infield it goes to Foster. Foster now looking for a run of Battle. A nice step over there by O'Keefe. The ball finds Battle now. Battle beats the challenge. Right-hand side of the penalty area. Cross comes in to O'Keefe on the near post, and just like that, bish-bash-bosh-ball. 37 minutes, FC United back in front.
That was a quality goal. I mean, from the moment that Battle was played in down the right-hand side, she had a player to beat and just waltzed past and then cut it back beautifully for O'Keefe, who timed her run into the box superbly.
And what a step over from O'Keefe in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, quick bit of quality there. And at the moment, O'Keefe is definitely the one with the scoring boots.
Well, 2-1 the score, and it's the same scoreline in the other semi-final where Salford are still in the lead against Manchester Stingers. The fourth minute of added time in this first half, and we've got a corner. It's FC United's third corner of the afternoon, and it's going to be Foster to take this from the left-hand side. It's going to be an in-swinger. Can FC United end this half well? In it comes towards the penalty spot. It goes, and there's Jean. She can't get to the ball. The ball breaks to McCarrick.
Yes.
Into the roof of the net. And FC United make it 3-1 on the stroke of half time, and that makes the team talk a little bit more easier, Paul.
Well, that was a corner they just didn't deal with very well, and it was scrambled around and it dropped to the feet of McCarrick, and she was, 10 yards out and just fired it into the roof of the net. And that's a great moment just for the team just before half time to go in 3-1 up.
Well, Edmondson with this throw-in midway into FC United's half. It's going to be a long throw-in in towards the penalty area. It goes, oh, it's not the best of defending from FC United, and West Didsbury and Cholton have got a second goal early doors in this second half, and it was Livesey once again doing the deed and putting it underneath Ainsworth, and FC United just really didn't defend that throw-in, Paul, very well.
It was a soft goal because the throw-in was launched towards the box, and the challenge just wasn't made, and it was like people were just leaving it and not being decisive enough, and Livesey seized the moment and got onto it and managed to poke it in, but very soft goal to give away.
Well, 4 minutes into the second half and Didsbury are back in this game.
Ainsworth clears the lines, over the halfway line the ball goes. O'Keefe wins the header. O'Gara loses out though there, and Westidsby on the attack this time down the right hand side. Another ball played over the top behind Carrington. Another dangerous position. This goes for the lob, hits the bar. Surely a goal there, and no offside given. And that is another goal, another goal for Elizabeth Livesey. And on 65 minutes, it's a tap in with a head from barely a yard out. And you can't say that equaliser has not been coming, Paul.
No, it seemed inevitable in some ways, but leaves it very interestingly balanced now with plenty of time left.
Yeah, we've got 25 minutes left. Jean, long throw in. Here's Battle, couple of kick-ups. Shields the ball, plays the ball back to McCarrick. McCarrick tries to find a through ball there. Doesn't come off. Finds Marsh on the halfway line. Marsh now can move into a bit of space here. Marsh still going with the ball from the halfway line. Still Marsh. Shot comes in. Oh, my goodness. Marsh there with her own Franz Beckenbauer impression from the halfway line. The defence just parted and she went, I might as well keep going. Kept going. Beautiful finish into the bottom corner, and with less than 4 minutes left to play, an unlikely fourth goal from FC United. They've been on the back foot all the way through this half, and it's from the most unlikely of sources taking the lead, Paul.
Well, that was amazing, absolutely amazing. The finish was a striker, the way she struck it across goal, and that's a real hammer blow with just about 3 minutes to go.
Well, I said moments earlier, I just don't see how FC United are going to score. And you really couldn't see him scoring. And to be honest with you, I never really foreseen Marsh going from the halfway line all the way through the middle like that, Ruud van Nistelrooy or something.
That was a poor bit of defending as well.
It did open up, but blimey. It's full time here in this Cup semi-final. That's gone one way, gone another, back again it goes. And, well, where should we start with this, Paul? The fact of the matter is, regardless of what happened in the last 95 minutes of play, FC United are progressing to the County Cup final where they will be taking on Salford City. But they've done it hard, haven't they, Paul?
They have done it the hard way. So have a 3-1 lead at half-time and have it wiped away with 25 minutes to go. And then hanging on for grim life, grim death, really. I mean, it was the last,
desperate stuff at times,
last 15
it?
Minutes. And then to find a goal from the most unlikely of sources to win it in the most bizarre circumstances, when your centre back gets the ball in that position inside your own half, it was, when she picked it up and just kept going, and the players in front just seemed to be scattered in different directions, so she's encouraged to keep going, got to the edge of the box, let fly with the left foot, and it flew in. I mean, it was completely bizarre and unexpected, but what a winning goal in a semi-final.
It happened with 3 minutes of normal time left to play, and Marsh, the goal scorer, and moments earlier I said I just don't see where the goal's going to come from, because Westidsby were so on it after half time. You'd think with the nature of the third goal that FC United scored right on half time into stoppage time, that was the death knell for Westidsby and Charlton, but they come out and they were on it, and Livesey, I'm going to give player of the match to.
Yeah,
she got the goal on 49 minutes, which basically said Westidsby are back in this game, and then got the hat-trick on 66 minutes, and at that point there was really only going to be one winner, and FC United clinging on. We should say the penalty area here is firm. We saw it in warm-up, one bounce and the ball hit the bar in the warm-up, so it has been difficult to deal with, but FC United just haven't defended well, have they?
No, they've got to look at that, and there's certain issues in terms of defensive work that they're going to have to improve on to see the season out. But having said all that, I mean, I do feel very sorry for Westidsby this afternoon. I think they've given it their all, and maybe they will regard this as a real chance gone to lift the trophy this season.
Well, they are
all
top
the effort they put in.
They are top of their respective league, this has been a performance from Westidsby and Charlton. That said, for FC United, it's been littered with stoppages. It is like the walking wounded, isn't it, in
I
a
think
lot of ways.
Losing Kirsty Chambers, which could be a longer-term injury than we would like, it's going to be a factor for the rest of the season. And
And this brings me to my next point. We're through to a final where we're taking on Salford in the final of the Manchester Challenge. It's not even a banana skin, is it? You won't be surprised.
Well,
FC United have played teams in high divisions in the last few years in county cups, and we've always gone in as the team with the higher league standings, always been classed as the underdog because we've been on it. Salford are the ones in the ascendancy, let's be honest. And that leads me to my point. We've got so many games in hand in the league. We've got an Argyle Cup quarter final next week back at Broadhurst Park. That's going to be played on the 3G pitch on Sunday. FC United have got a soul threadbare at the moment. I'd say we've got 13, 14 players at the moment, and some of those aren't fully fit either. And we can't go into this period here where we're playing games on a Wednesday as well.
What I can tell you is that I heard yesterday that the women's team have registered two more players this week. They may play a part in the rest of the season. We don't know much about them yet, but Luke has registered a couple of more players because the transfer deadline was approaching. So I think he's recognised the dangers even before the injuries today. So that's one factor.
Well, we'll be commentating on that game on Sunday from the 3G pitch, we think, against Penrith in the quarterfinals of the Argyle Cup. FC United through to their first final of the season, and it's going to be a toughie against Salford at a venue to be announced.
Might be back here.
Yeah, they've done it hard though this afternoon. It's been a battle in performance, but FC United coming out on top, 4-3 winners, and we will be back with Women's Team Live next Sunday. Men's team though, Tuesday night, join us for FC live from Broadhurst Park against York City. 7:30 our coverage starts, and I think it'll also be on North Manchester FM as well if you're driving around in your car for various reasons. And then on Saturday it's FC United against Nuneaton. We'll be there live from 2:30. Sato, Paul, a big thank you for joining us, my friend, but we've got to go now. The wild card's coming up next, and we'll see you all very soon. Bye bye.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and defender Emily Marsh. Luke first, that was what a terrific final, semi-final there to put us into the final. 4-3, we were in front, we dodged the bullet at times, but we're through.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really tough afternoon. I said to the players before the game that it was going to be a real scrappy one, and the game's probably never really at any point going to be over until the final whistle goes, because you know what West Isbury and Charlton's they're a tenacious little team. They rat around and they make mistakes, and I think we made quite a few mistakes today, but obviously I've got to give credit to our girls because they carried on going, and at 3-3 that could have been, especially being 3-1 up, I just feel like it could have really knocked us for six if we got on the ropes a little bit, but we managed to, courtesy of Emily, managed to get a goal and score it and win 4-3.
Yeah, I think the bookies took a bit of a bashing there, Emily, with you getting the winner, and what a goal it was. You just ran forward and all you could see was the nets.
To be fair, Luke had mentioned it at half time about taking a big touch and going through because they was pushing up really high and catching us offside, so yeah, just saw the opportunity and managed to take it, thankfully.
Slotted it home perfectly into the corner, and everything.
I did that, Neil.
Yeah, Mike just. So you slotted it into the corner perfectly, and we all went into raptures. Everyone up the field and enjoying that one. But it's not surprising, really. I mean, it was a relief breaker, that one.
Yeah, like you say, I feel like we deserved it overall. But the emotion, that's what it's all about, isn't it? The football games, when you win games like that. I said to the girls at the end, looking back, I probably wouldn't change it. I would want to win it in the same way, rather than it be a bit of a whitewash. So for us, it all made to a great spectacle, and like I say, another good game against our rivals, West Isbury. Fair play to them, they've really caused us some problems today. So, but it does highlight areas that we can now go away and work on, and gives us a bit of a platform now to make sure we don't make those mistakes in the league.
Yeah, there are things to learn pretty much from every match, and obviously when you concede three, you obviously got to spot what happened. But we got the win, a couple of lovely goals from Amy, a nice smasher from Kate, and probably, I think, goal of the season from Emily. What do you think, Emily?
Probably my only goal of the season.
it was an absolute scorcher anyway. Thanks very much, Luke and Emily.
Cheers, mate.
Neil Booth speaking to FC United's Luke Podmore and Emily Marsh there following the Reds' remarkable 4-3 win over West Isbury and Charlton on Sunday afternoon. And on that happy note, that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 PM and 7 PM on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 PM on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes Store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.